Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
My name's Renee Giacchino. I'm Corporate Counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. As always, we encourage you to sign up for our free Lunchtime Liberty Update. It comes out every Friday in your inbox. All you need to do is go to cfif.org. While you're there, take a moment and click on Freedom Line. That's where you can listen to Freedom Cast, where you can listen to the interviews that are conducted right here on 1330 AM WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. If you happen to miss an interview or you just want to listen to it another time over and over again, you can do that by podcast, and we encourage you to do so. Joining me now on the phone is the Vice President for Public and Legal Affairs at the Center for Individual Freedom. Please welcome back Tim Lee. Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, and good evening to everybody down there.
Listen, I want to talk a little bit about unions. There's been a lot of talk lately. We've heard that Chrysler has cut some of their dealerships, that General Motors has cut their dealerships. And, you know, being lost in the conversation is the impact that this has on unions, and really the converse, the impact that the unions have had on this happening. Now, recently, maybe as recent as last week, it might have been the week before, but Vice President Biden said that unions are what's going to save America. Do you agree with that, Tim?
Well, you know what? The first thing that anybody needs to do when discussing the labor union issue is to separate labor bosses and the organizations that constitute unions versus the people who work hard and are part of unions, because they're two very different things. And unfortunately, the union bosses and the labor leaders don't have the workers' interests at heart. But that's absurd for Vice President Biden to say that. And, you know, he's obviously in the habit of saying some pretty stupid things. But unfortunately, one of the worst things you can do if you want to save your job or save an industry is to heavily unionize it. And all one needs to do is look at unemployment across the country. As of February, the top eight states across the country with the lowest rates of unemployment were all right-to-work states. The highest unemployment states tended to be those that are heavily unionized. Michigan's a perfect example. I believe it has the highest unemployment rate in the entire country. California is another one. And with a few exceptions, the states that tend to populate the upper ranks of the highest unemployment rates tend to be unionized. So Vice President Biden is, you know, putting his foot in his mouth once again, because the worst thing you can do to the American economy is to let big labor take it over.
Well, I think my parents who are listening by streamlining in Michigan can probably attest to that fact. You know, union workers out there and folks who are thinking about joining a union have been watching this whole issue of card check. But before we talk about card check and what's happening with that issue, because we've talked about it in the past, and I just want to make sure we keep people up to date on that. You wrote a piece that's in the Lunchtime Liberty Update. Folks can now find it on the website at cfif.org under Freedom Line. And it's Attention Union Workers. Employers want to give you raises, but union bosses say no. What's the story behind that, Tim?
Well, this is a perfect example of workers' interests and union bosses' interests being two very different things. Under current labor law, if a union negotiates collective bargaining agreement that sets the wages and whatnot, an employer is not allowed to give employees individual raises for productivity and innovation and straightforward hard work. The reason they do that is because it doesn't serve the union's purpose for the employees to think that they can somehow earn good money outside the labor union. They want you to think that there's this adversarial relationship between workers and employers. And so unions and union bosses want workers to think that all of what they're getting in terms of wages flows through the benevolent sense of, that the union bosses have. So, for instance, say I own a company that produces widgets, and I have a unionized workforce, and I want to pay workers who produce more widgets and work harder and work more efficiently, I want to pay them more. I want to reward them for doing a good job. That's particularly necessary in this economy where we have a lot of world competition and people chomping at our heels to try to surpass America. Unions don't like that. So under current labor law, employers are prohibited, literally prohibited, from giving these sorts of raises to individual employees. Unions will try to justify it by saying, well, it's a way of bribing employees to not join unions, when frankly all it does is penalize employees who want to work harder and more efficiently, and it kind of fosters the go-along-to-get-along mentality where you think, well, I'm going to get paid the same amount regardless of how much I produce. So it undermines the business productivity and eventually, you know, that company's competitiveness worldwide. So it really kills jobs, and the only people it serves are union bosses who negotiate these contracts.
Well, and let's take it even to Jane Q. Public's pocketbook, because I think, you know, a lot of these issues, you know, I can sit here in Northwest Florida and say, oh, you know, I don't work for a union. You know, I'm not that interested in this issue. How does this really affect me? But when you talk about your pocketbook, then it gets people's interest up. And I think that there are lots of lessons to learn. Let's start. I'm going to give you three examples, and then you can touch on them as well. In New Jersey, which faces a $3.3 billion budget deficit, angry state workers have demonstrated in Trenton and taking Governor John Corzine to court over his plan to require unpaid furloughs for public employees. Here is the governor of the state of New Jersey trying to do something to cut taxes, to not have to raise taxes for the citizens of New Jersey, and his hands are tied. Cross the river, and in New York, the public sector unions have hit the airwaves with these caustic ads denouncing Governor Patterson's promise to lay off state workers if they continue to refuse to forego wage hikes as part of his effort to close the $17.7 billion deficit. Now let's cross the country into Los Angeles, a hot issue in LA County right now, where the schools are facing a budget deficit of nearly $600 million, a lot like our schools right here in Santa Rosa County. They're not of that magnitude, thank goodness. But, you know, we've got our own problems here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County and Okaloosa and surrounding areas. There in L.A. County, school employees have balked at a salary freeze and vowed to oppose any layoffs that the Board of Education says it will have to pursue if workers don't agree to the concessions. Tim, how can folks say that this union issue doesn't affect everyday Americans?
Well, it frankly does affect everyday Americans, and you named some examples. You look at the public employees' unions, and they think that they're somehow immune to budget cutting and belt tightening in times of recession. Look, a lot of companies out there are laying off right now and cutting budgets and cutting salaries, and a lot of people are making sacrifices. But when you start to ask these public unions to be the same way, they seem to think that they're somehow immune from this. So that affects people's pocketbooks. You know, and again, looking around just at what unions do on a more cumulative basis, say you want to open a pizza parlor in Michigan. Well, unfortunately, unions have driven that economy into the ground. And so a lot of people are out of work. The companies are moving either overseas or to states that have better policies in terms of welcoming investments and businesses and things of that sort. So that hurts you because nobody around there has any dollars to spend. It affects them in that way. And you look at the Chrysler matter that you raised at the beginning of the show. Well, Chrysler's, the unions, the UAW, is getting something like 60 cents on the dollar, and these are rough numbers, but they're getting essentially 60 cents on the dollar, and they're an unsecured creditor of Chrysler. Whereas secured creditors who invested money in Chrysler with the promise that they take priority if there's some sort of bankruptcy or financial meltdown are getting more like 29 cents on the dollar. You know, it's overturning laws, so people who invested dollars in these companies are getting really treated illegally, frankly, by these sorts of things going on. And just the bottom line is it affects everybody because you may work in a business or an industry where big labor is trying to take over. That's the best way to kill your job. You might work in an area where they're just having this cumulative effect. That's going to affect you. You might work in a or you might live in a state where the unions are refusing to do the same belt tightening that every other American has to do. That's keeping your taxes high, and that's driving businesses overseas and across various states. California is melting down because of this, and it provides a very vivid example that this affects everybody.
You know, it's interesting because I read recently in the Wall Street Journal that the unemployment rate in the private sector has reached 9%. In the public sector, however, the jobless rate is a mere 2.8%. And actually, the public sector continues to grow. And, you know, folks may think, wow, that's good news. But guess what, people? Guess who's paying for that?
Yeah, it's coming out of our pockets, and you know, you can only squeeze so much out of a rock. You know, it's interesting you mention that because every sector has lost jobs since about 2007, except for government and in some months, healthcare. Why is that? Why is government somehow immune from the, again, the belt tightening that a lot of Americans are having to go through? And by the way, speaking of the issue that I brought up earlier about how labor law currently prevents employers from giving